This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Hello there, Editors-in-Chief. I am Stephanie Flaxman, and you are listening to Editor-in-Chief, the weekly audio broadcast that delivers the art of writing, updated for marketing in the digital age, to help you become the editor-in-chief of your own online business. So you may have noticed right now that I said something a little bit differently than how I normally greet you guys at the beginning of each episode. In the past, I would start every episode, or mostly every episode, saying, "Hello, editor-in-chiefs, you know, welcome to the show." My whole little greeting there. But there is a listener to Editor-in-Chief, the podcast, whose name is Daniel, and he actually pointed out to me that when I am addressing a group of editors-in-chief, I was putting the plural in the wrong part of the phrase. You want to make editors, which is the noun plural, not the chiefs part. So when I'm addressing a group of you, my lovely listeners, you are editors-in-chief, not editor-in-chiefs. So that's a really great grammar lesson. Another thing that Daniel pointed out, just as an example, it would be passers-by instead of passerbys, or attorneys general instead of attorney generals. Again, you're making the noun part of the compound noun. I should have said that with a little more certainty. Noun, I was asking a question. But the other parts of the phrase or compound noun, they're the modifying parts. That's more of the adjective. But when you are making the noun plural, it is correct. So from now on, I'm going to be addressing you all as editors in chief. It sounds a little weird. It sounds a little weird to me. I think that's why I naturally went to editor in chiefs. My natural instinct is to put the plural at the end of the word. And in writing, I feel like I would have corrected it though to editors in chief. It's very interesting, this dynamic between what works in audio and what works in written content. And if I saw editor in chiefs with the chiefs part plural with the S on the end there, you get my swooshy noise and my S. You get a lot of that. If you want to hear more about that, you can go listen to another episode of Editor in Chief called "Why a Unique Selling Proposition Contradicts Everyday Life." I talk about my visit to a periodontist and the swooshing noise in my mouth when I say the word S sometimes, or other words. I don't know when it happens. It happens when it feels like it. So, I think I would have noticed that in writing, because I like to, you know, I correct writing. That is part of my job, and that would have popped out at me. But in audio, it's funny. I would say it's more forgiving, which is a bad example in this episode when it was not forgiving and someone did notice my grammar error. But in audio, it's a lot easier to get the context and to understand what the person is saying, even if everything wasn't grammatically correct. But in writing, you can really lose the reader if your writing is unclear. See, I was making mistakes there, but I think you still got what I was saying. But if your writing has a lot of grammar errors that make your point and your message unclear, it will trip up the reader and confuse the reader. And obviously, you want to avoid that. So thanks again to Daniel for pointing that out, so I can say editors in chief from now on, even though it sounds a little weird. So this is a really good lesson that there's no substitute for expressing yourself in a public forum, because then people will point out when you are wrong and when you make mistakes, and you get lots of lessons out of them. So you don't get the lessons, and you don't get the learning experiences, and you don't get the value unless you put yourself out there. So more encouragement to be fearless and express yourself and do what you want to do, because it's okay if you do something wrong. It's okay if someone points out that you did something wrong. You have an opportunity to go in a different direction or to correct your actions going forward. So it is all okay. And so that mistake of mine is related to this episode, because now I got to jump right in because I have a lot of stuff to talk about. I'm going to talk about today mistakes that writers make when pitching to editors when they want to write for a different website. Say you've been writing on your own site for a while, you have your own content, but you want to write elsewhere and you have to talk to the site owner or editor. I'm just going to use the term editor for the purpose of this episode and this exercise. But I mean, that person might have a different technical role or a different title for what they do. But I'm just going to say editor in terms of the gatekeeper that a writer needs to talk to if they want to write an article for a publication or a website or some outlet that the writer is not the owner of. So that's what I'm going to go over. And also for the sake of these examples, I'm going to be assuming that the writer is pitching an idea, not that a full article has been written. So really just like pitching a topic to someone who you don't know is the scenario that is going to be going on in these mistakes. And hopefully you can learn something from them the next time you approach an editor. This is not a formula. These avoiding these mistakes do not guarantee anything, but in very simple terms, you can think of three levels, subpar, good, and great. And if all of your pitches to different editors are in the subpar level, with practice and over time, they'll get to good. But it will take even longer for them to get to great. So if you can maximize your chances of having pitches that are around the good level to start off, you'll get to great that much sooner. And you'll start seeing all the pieces of all your effort come together and, getting the results that you want, which is having your writing published in a lot of different places. So, all right, folks, let's get into that right now. So the first mistake that you would want to avoid when pitching to editors is not doing enough research on your topic. And in conjunction with that, the publication that you're pitching to. A lot of people have ideas of just sites that are really big, sites that they really like, and they just blindly want to write for these sites. And there might be a really good reason why you would want to write for that site. But a lot of the times, if they're just popular, if your writing would be exposed to a much wider audience because the site has a really big following, all these things kind of blind your actual work in a sense, because you're just so distracted by, oh, if I could just write there, things are going to change for me. My career is really going to take off. And most of the time, that is not the case, especially not after just one article too. There's a lot of work that you have to put in overtime for anything to work out. So if you pitch to a site where there are different types of research. The first that you would, I'd say, do incorrectly. Lazy research is when you pitch something to an editor of a site and the content is just so similar to what the site writes about all the time. You think, oh, that's what that site writes about. I'm going to write about that too. And you overlook the fact that you're not adding any value by just pitching something that's exactly like what the site talks about all the time in the articles. An example is if, and I'm sort of going to front load you with a lot of information, and the rest of the mistakes are going to trickle down from that. So this is probably the longest one because it provides a foundation for the other mistakes. So the example I'm going to use throughout this episode is about a blog about car paint. And the site writes about all different types of paint for cars. And you aren't really a car paint expert, but you love the site and you love that they have a big audience and you just really want to get your writing in front of the audience. So you pitch something just about car paint, something just very similar to what they publish day in and day out. And so that's not going to add a lot of value. And because you're not an expert on car paint, and this is the site about car paint, because you're not an authority of car paint, there's really no reason why an editor would want to go to you to write an article for this big authoritative site on car paint. They'd probably go with an expert who has a lot of experience with car paint. There might be some sites that are a better fit for your level of expertise in car paint, but it's not a match if you're going straight into this site thinking that, it really doesn't matter about what you could do research on. You're not a good candidate to start off with. But the opposite end of that is if you want to write for the car paint blog because you have a lot of experience writing about car engines. And you think, wow, the car paint blog never writes about car engines. And I do have a lot of background. I know a lot about car engines. That would be really something that I could contribute. But you're being a bit lazy there too, or you're just not, lazy, I don't think is quite the right word, but you're being a little bit blind to the content of the site because maybe that site doesn't need anything about car engines. It's a blog about car paint. So you've kind of gone into a different extreme where you want to contribute something that you have some expertise on that's related, but you're overlooking that the site probably isn't interested in that. It's not what they write about. It's not what the audience would be that interested in. It's kind of related, but it's not, there's still too much of a disconnect. So a better fit would be, or more of a right match between the writer and the editor is if you pitch them a story about paintbrushes, because maybe they write about this car paint all the time, and people go to them about finding out the best type of paint for your car, but they don't have a lot about paintbrushes. And if their readers knew everything that you knew about paintbrushes, they'd be way more informed and they would just love the site even more. So you would want to look for that type of article where it complements what the site talks about. And you connect the dots. That's really what you're doing. You're saying, this is what they write about. If I go in this direction, it's too similar. If I go in that direction, it's too different. Where can I really connect the dots and find something where the audience is going to benefit? I have some area of expertise in this topic, and it would really serve those readers in a way that the current writers for the site, haven't provided that information on this topic that would really provide value there. So being blind about how great a site is and not doing enough research on what the right topic would be is the first mistake. The second mistake is not doing enough research on the editor who you pitch to. So really breaking it down again, basic things that you forget about when you're just very starry-eyed about wanting to write for a certain site is that you are connecting with another human being when you pitch to an editor. They're in a position to reject you, which is scary, but there's a person behind that email, a person just like you. And what's great about the internet, even though it's also scary, is that you can find a lot about the person that you're pitching to. You can look at their LinkedIn profile, their Twitter profile, basic information from Googling them. You could find out a lot about their personality and their preferences if you take the time to find out something about them before you even go in to write your email pitch. For example, there might be an editor who talks about on Twitter all the time that she loves brevity and has no time for jokes or friendly niceties in pitches. Like, she might be offering this information just on social media. So then you wouldn't want to go into that editor with a big, long story of your life and all of your background information. You know that they just want something fast and quick, and they'll judge you by that. And in the opposite direction, there might be an editor who talks about it all the time on social media that she loves jokes in her pitch emails, and she loves really long emails, and she just really wants to get to know everyone who pitches to her. In that case, you wouldn't want to write a really short email. Again, it's getting to know the personality by using the tools at your disposal so that you can tailor your emails to the actual human who you are pitching to. I always talk about that I love the differences between Jared Morris and I. Jared Morris is the VP of Rainmaker FM, and I always say, we're so different. I love it. Jared, one of the nicest people, if not, he's competing. I don't know who else he's competing against because he's so far ahead, but he's just one of the nicest people in the world. And I mean that very, very sincerely. And so he loves in really just getting to know people's stories, and he wants some connection besides what the business topic at hand is. I've seen from my experience with him, he really likes diving into who a person is besides the topic at hand that they're talking about that's work related. And I don't really like that in business communication. I am mean. I like being to the point. I don't want to waste anyone's time, and I don't feel like someone's wasting my time, like I'm so important. But I just really like getting directly to the point. My writing style is very terse. Like that. My speaking style is a little bit different. I'm a Gemini. These conflicting patterns come up in my life a lot. So you'd want to find out if you're pitching to someone like Jared or if you're pitching to someone like me, and then make choices accordingly. So the third mistake is not thinking like an editor and wasting the editor's time, which is a little bit what I touched on before when you want to get to know who you're pitching to as a human. Another example that is very common in pitches is you might feel like you want to say something in your email like, I think this topic would really interest your readers. And that's a natural thing to want to say because you want to show that you're thinking of the publication's readers when you pitch a topic. Look, I have your readers in mind. I'm thinking of, you know, writing this topic for them. But that sentence, I think this topic would interest your readers, is very empty. And you want to avoid empty sentences that anyone could write. As a general rule, if anyone can write what you're writing, you need to rework it and reposition your message. So it's very unique to you. It's a great example of showing, not telling. We say that a lot. Instead of saying that this topic would interest the editor's readers, you want to intrigue the editor you're pitching to and make him or her think on his own or her own, wow, this would really interest our readers. Like, wow, our readers are going to love this when they hear it. So you use how you discuss your article topic to achieve that without actually saying it. It's much more powerful to make the writer, to make the editor, think on his own. This would be such a great fit for our audience rather than it being stated by the writer who's pitching the topic. And it's hard to not say that because you want the editor to know that you're thinking of the readers, but there are more creative ways that you can do it. So moving on to the fourth mistake is not pitching at your current career level or pitching without a reason. So this kind of goes back to the car example. And you want to pitch within your area of expertise. And what I mean by that is you need to very succinctly describe to the editor why you're the perfect person to write for this article. Why does this site that you want to write for need this article to be written by you? It's really about why you're the authority that needs to address this topic. Because there could be lots of other people who could potentially write this article, and it's your job to show why you need to be the writer. And it can't just be because you want to write the article. You can't underestimate putting in your dues, and you might not be the best person to write a certain article. Again, going back to that first example, there may be some sites that will accept your writing if you don't necessarily have a lot of experience with the topic. And if you're exploring the topic and you want to share your exploration with readers, there are probably sites that will cater to that level of where you are in your career. But if you want to write for a site that features lots of different authorities in all of the writers that they feature, it's probably not the best fit for, you're probably setting yourself up for disappointment if you pitch to one of those sites. So it's about accurately assessing where you are in your career and then finding the publications that are the best fit for you now. As you grow, the publications that you pitch to and write for will grow as well. But you don't want to be trying to be an expert on car paint if you're just not the expert on car paint yet. And your expertise on car engines, you know, might not be a fit for that site with the car paint. The balance would be as if you really had a strong background with the car paint brushes that you could contribute. Like that might be, you're in there, but you have to think of what that is. You have to think about, how can I show this editor that I am the perfect person to write this article because of everything that I have done in my career and I have all this experience? Like, you need to show that you are the person they've been looking for. And you can do that in your email in a lot of different ways, but just stating a topic that you want to write about isn't it. You need to push it a little bit further. So the fifth mistake is pitching too many ideas to the editor when the editor doesn't know you yet. Once you have a relationship with an editor, your conversations there'll be a lot of back and forth. It'll be a lot more casual enough where you could throw out different story ideas. But when you want to make a first impression and reach out, you don't want to overwhelm the editor. The editor has a lot of other emails to read and a lot of other work to do. So it's your job to make a strong impression with a well-researched topic within your area of expertise where you are the authority. And then you can demonstrate in your pitch email why you are the perfect person to write this article and why this article is a perfect fit for the site you want to write for. You need to make the process very streamlined rather than giving the editor lots of different options when he or she doesn't even know you. If it takes too much work to get to know you, even if you have a lot to offer, an editor will probably forget about you or overlook you because it takes too much effort to extract value from your interaction. So to sum that up, you want to make it easy to extract value from your interaction. Here's why I'm the perfect person. Here's what I have to offer. Do you want it? That is a really way to maximize the punchiness of your email. Make it punchy. Keep it punchy. You don't want the editor to be overwhelmed or fall asleep. Keep it punchy. So the sixth mistake is how you follow up with the editor. So there are a lot of different approaches to this. I am going on what has worked for me in the past as a writer who is pitching the editors. When I was freelance writing and editing, and I was pitching lots of different things to editors all the time, I did a lot of research on that process, which is maybe a sub tip in here. I just did a lot of research on what it takes to maximize your chances of getting an editor to respond to you. And within that, I came across this 2-week rule somewhere. I don't know where I came across it. It was years ago, but it really stuck with me. Like, that was going to be my follow-up rule. So if you haven't heard back within 2 weeks, you can follow up and, you know, remind the editor that you emailed them. I still really like this time frame. A week in the life of an editor or anyone really goes by really quickly when you have lots of other work to do, lots of other emails to look at. A week is really nothing. And so it's really understandable if someone who doesn't know you doesn't write you back within a week. At the 2 week point, it's more of a helpful reminder. There's really a lot of reasoning behind 2 weeks that makes a lot of sense to me. Yeah, it's just, it really shifts from being like someone nagging you to being like, oh yeah, I got that. I really wanted to look at it, but I haven't had a chance yet. I'm really glad they reminded me. There's a much different mental association after 2 weeks than if you follow up in a week or before, I have found. So you may be anxious, but I follow the 2 week rule and I would recommend it for those reasons. And to not let your anxiousness get the best of you and follow up sooner. And the seventh mistake is arguing if you don't like what the writer, what the editor says to you when they respond. Don't argue. You really need to trust the person who is in charge of running the site, who is getting back to you. There's, they don't owe you an explanation at all. A lot of times you might get a little explanation, but they really don't owe you one. So if you don't get one, you know, there's really no point in arguing. And if you get one and you don't like it, there's still really no point in arguing. The best way is to just kind of keep a relationship with the editor. Be gracious, thank them for their time, and try to keep an open relationship somehow. Because what I maybe should have said earlier in the episode is that so much has to do with timing and what's going on at the site at the moment that you pitch, that you behind the scenes stuff that you don't know about. So instead of getting mad at someone doing their job and making a decision that they had to make, you know, if you keep an open relationship, somehow keep the communication channels flowing, then things might change down the line. But if you argue with someone, then you're making an impression in a bad way. Someone's going to remember you like, oh yeah, they really kind of weren't very, they didn't take my response very well. Because then it also seems like you don't take criticism that well, rather than just being gracious and wanting to keep a relationship with someone. Because again, you're talking to a human, not just this gatekeeper to a publication that you want to write for. And I have one bonus tip that's a little bit different from the other tips. This is a bonus. It's a little different because this goes for if you are actually pitching a complete article that you've already written. Sometimes that may happen, which is different than just pitching a topic. You may have written an article and you want to pitch the full article to an editor because it's already completed. And in this case, the tip is to produce what I call a standalone article, meaning it's a complete piece of content on its own, hyperlinks to other sources to verify information and things like that is very useful. But hyperlinks online are often abused in a way. They're abused because they become so overused that the result is a confusing, unfocused piece of writing where you have to click all over the place to find out what the writer's talking about. And editors will probably not view these pieces as favorably as if you just submit a cohesive, standalone article. What I compare this to is if you're writing for a print magazine. And when a print article resonates with a reader, she'll tear it out of the publication and pin it up to her refrigerator with a magnet. So she has it all the time. That's just an example. She doesn't need to attach 15 other articles to complete the article. It stands alone. So if you're pitching a full article, make sure that that's what it does. That is that really complete piece of writing for an audience rather than, you know, a bunch of things where they have to click to find out more or click to research a study. It should all be within this one contained piece of writing. So those are the tips. And I'd like to remind you that Editor-in-Chief is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, which is the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. You can find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. So go over there if you'd like to find out more about the Rainmaker platform and how it can help you and your online business. It makes a lot of things that you have to do when you run an online business really easy and streamlined. Streamlined is the theme of this episode. Make everything very one path, make it easy. Rainmaker platform does that. All right. Thank you for staying with me. I hope you liked those tips a lot. I really appreciate you sticking through it as I went through all of them. If you like Editor-in-Chief, did I say that? I blurred that together a little bit. If you like Editor-in-Chief and all of my mistakes and the things that I say, good or bad, on this show, head on over to iTunes, please, and leave me a review or a rating over there. I think a rating takes even less time than a review, so you can do that if you like, but I would like a review too. I'd be happy to hear from you, but it is up to you. I appreciate whatever you do. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am Stephanie Flaxman. You have been listening to Editor-in-Chief. Now go become one.